Let's go together now to the scriptures, again to Isaiah and chapter 41. Isaiah 41, verses 1 through 29. The whole chapter, Isaiah 41. Hear now the word of the Lord to us, his people. Coastlands, listen to me in silence, and let the peoples gain new strength. Let them come forward, then let them speak. Let us come together for judgment. Who has aroused one from the east whom he calls in righteousness to his feet? He delivers up nations before him and subdues kings. He makes them like dust with his sword, as the wind-driven chaff with his bow. He pursues them, passing on in safety by a way he had not been traversing with his feet. Who has performed and accomplished it, calling forth the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, am the first, and with the last, I am he. The coastlands have seen and are afraid. The ends of the earth tremble. They have drawn near and have come. Everyone helps his neighbor and says to his brother, "Be strong." So the craftsman encourages the smelter, and he who smooths metal with the hammer encourages him who beats the anvil, saying of the soldering, "It is good." And he fastens it with nails so that it will not totter. But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, descendant of Abraham, my friend, you whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from its remotest parts and said to you, "You are my servant. I have chosen you and not rejected you. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold, all those who are angered at you will be shamed and dishonored. Those who contend with you will be as nothing and will perish. You will seek those who quarrel with you but will not find them. Those who war with you will be as nothing and non-existent. For I am the Lord your God who upholds your right hand, who says to you, 'Do not fear, I will help you.' Do not fear, and you worm of Jacob, you men of Israel, I will help you, declares the Lord. And your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I have made you a new sharp threshing sledge with double edges. You will thresh the mountains and pulverize them and will make the hills like chaff. You will winnow them and the wind will carry them away and the storm will scatter them. But you will rejoice in the Lord. You will glory in the Holy One of Israel. The afflicted and needy are seeking water, but there is none, and their tongue is parched with thirst. I, the Lord, will answer them myself as the God of Israel. I will not forsake them. I will open rivers on the bare heights and springs in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land fountains of water. I will put the cedar in the wilderness, the acacia and the myrtle and the olive tree. I will place the juniper in the desert together with the box tree and the cypress, that they may see and recognize and consider and gain insight as well, that the hand of the Lord has done this, and the Holy One of Israel has created it. Present your case, the Lord says. Bring forward your strong arguments, the King of Jacob says. Let them bring forth and declare to us what is going to take place. As for the former events, declare what they were, that we may consider them and know their outcome, or announce to us what is coming. Declare the things that are going to come afterward, that we may know that you are gods. Indeed, do good or evil, that we may anxiously look about us and fear together. Behold, you are of no account, and your work amounts to nothing. He who chooses you is an abomination. I have aroused one from the north, and he has come. From the rising of the sun he will call on my name, and he will come upon rulers as upon mortar, even as the potter treads clay. Who has declared this from the beginning, that we might know? Or from former times, that we may say, 'He is right'? Surely there is no one who declared. Surely there was no one who proclaimed. Surely there was no one who heard your words. Formerly I said to you, behold, here they are, and to Jerusalem I will give a messenger of good news. But when I look, there is no one, and there is no counselor among them, who if I ask can give an answer. Behold, all of them are false. Their works are worthless. Their molten images are wind and emptiness. And that is the word of the Lord. The chapter begins calling all the nations who are opposed to Yahweh to mount up all their strength, because they will encounter Yahweh, the Lord, God of hosts, and they will need all the help they can get. Verse 2 now starts to refer to one who will carry out the righteous purposes of God, who later we find out is Cyrus, king of Persia. In this chapter, the Lord makes the point that is not primarily who is coming or about the coming of Cyrus, the main point, but answers the question, who brought Cyrus onto this stage in history? And it answers in verse 4, who has performed and accomplished it, calling forth the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, am the first, and with the last, I am He. Yahweh alone is Lord alone is sovereign, and He has an eternal plan. Now the nations pretend to have power, and they use it in defiance against Yahweh. But they are ultimately powerless. They boast of their power, but it does not last. You think of those rulers of the past. In the scriptures, we see Pharaoh, Nebuchadnezzar, Sennacherib. After that, we see Alexander the Great, Antiochus Epiphanes. They are nothing before Yahweh. They are not in control, though they thought they were. And God's warning to us is that we are never so vulnerable as when we believe ourselves to be strong by our own strength. When Cyrus came, what did the other nations do? They were afraid. They trembled. But they did not turn to the Lord. They turned to idolatry. Verse 21 and following is what we could say is the court case, the judgment being determined. The nations are to present their case and argue for it, even to bring their idols into show, and they fail. The gods of wood and stone and gold and silver are powerless. Verse 24, behold, you are of no account, and your work amounts to nothing. He who chooses you is an abomination. They will be trampled underfoot, verse 25. Not one of their gods had predicted the future accurately, as they were called upon to do, verse 26. And rather, there is actually only silence, verse 28. Throughout the passage, though, we also have some things that appear to comfort and strengthen the heart of the people of God, who may fear these things, may fear the things of the world and idols or images. He gives first the doctrine of election. Verse 8, Jacob, whom I have chosen. What a mercy and love to you there is, the election of God's people by the Lord Himself. There is secondly the covenant of grace. In the same verse, the reference to Abraham and the descendant to come who was promised, Jesus Christ. The Lord kept His promise 2,000 years after that, after 2,000 years of history. Third, the presence of God, verse 10. Do not fear, for I am with you. The presence of God being at the heart of the promises of God and the reasons why we should not fear. And fourth, the power of God. End of verse 10. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And it repeats that again later. And finally, the redemption of God, verse 14. It says, do not fear, you worm Jacob, you men of Israel. I will help you, declares the Lord, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. So here the nations are found guilty of idolatry, even worshiping according to their imaginations. And Yahweh calls for the idols to speak for themselves, but they're dumb. They're mute and lifeless. The nations are guilty, and there is hope for them. as there is for us. It lies in the covenant of grace and lies in the Savior who secures that covenant of grace for his people and who receive it by faith, for he is the Redeemer of God's elect. And so that is where our hope lies, in him. So let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for your promises. We thank you for your Son. We thank you that in Christ we have all the blessings that are found in the promises throughout the Scriptures, of which you are always faithful to uphold and to bring about. We thank you even after 2,000 years of giving the promise to Abraham, came your Son Jesus Christ. Even prior to that, we might say 4,000 years after you said the seed of the woman would crush the serpent, the seed of the serpent's head. And you did that in Christ, the death and resurrection of him. You're the God who keeps promises. Perhaps for some of the promises you made thousands of years after. And we know will be eternally after. An eternity to come. And we will continue to grow in knowledge and wisdom as we see your face forever and ever, as we foreshadow that now in our worship, for we have come before your throne. Father, cause us to see your Son, to see your glory, and this time, even through your word. Father, we ask that you would give us hope and comfort and the promises and the doctrine of election and your presence among us by your Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, and your power, of which you have us with your righteous right hand. And you will not let go, but hide us in the shelter of your wings. Father, we thank you for those images, those pictures, of which just allude finitely to a reality of your protection and power of us. We thank you that your power is so much greater than even those images. And yet there are images that are false, these idols that even creep up into our minds in the church today, even images of Jesus purported, people call them images of Jesus, and yet they're not images of Jesus at all. There's no power in them. And if it was truly an image of Jesus Christ, we would bow down and worship them. And yet you have forsaken such things. You said that we should not create any image of God and likeness of him in any way. And so, Father, as we have done that in our lives, as we have, when thinking of Jesus, as we read the Scriptures, we've thought of images in our minds of him, of what he's like, and yet they're always finite and do not contain your divinity, and they're not accurate at all. Father, forgive us of our sin, of our idolatry, and going after paper gods, things that are nothing and have no power. Even the things of this world that are powerless, that are said to be good for us, that are said by the world to be a strength to us, and yet really are not. But they do not speak, and they are nothing. They are non-existent. Father, as we are tempted in the future to take hold of such things, we ask that you would turn us from and remind us of your word, even from here, where you judge the case of them among the people of the nations and Judah. And they were found to be nothing. We thank you that you rise up even rulers of the world, people of the world, for your righteous causes. We thank you for Cyrus and his work that you did through him in judging nations who had exiled your people. Father, we ask that you would cause us to honor our authorities. Pray for them. Because there may be a time when we will need them. Not that we really need them, we only need you. But you use such people for our good. And Lord, we pray that you would use such people for our good, for the good of the Church of Jesus Christ throughout the world. Convict rulers and authorities over your people to turn from their sin and cause and allow people to worship you freely without persecution, which happens throughout the world and may and is seemingly start to beginning is at the beginning of doing it here. We ask that you would turn such rulers from such things. But if such things come, given the fact that there are many of your people who have turned from the way, the truth, and the life, have turned from your word and pursued things of this culture and entertainment and carnal pleasures, Father, we are well deserving of your judgment as a nation. And being persecuted is a real possibility. And so strengthen us for this task, if it would come. For we are weak and have no strength in and of ourselves. So cause us to trust upon you and rely upon your strength. For you are all powerful and you have us with your righteous right hand. Hear our prayers, because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.